I'm opening.
We have
an eye, part of a nostril, two teeth. One of the teeth has a small cavity. Close call, folks, but I think we got here just in time.
Presented by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. This is Anatomy of a Movie. In-depth discussions and breakdowns of various movie titles. And now that you've seen the movie, let the dissection begin.
Oh, yes. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another Anatomy of a Movie. This week's dissection, St. Vincent. I'm John Comfort. I'm joined in the studio by Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
And Dimitri Panos.
Happy Halloween.
Yes, it is. So, St. Vincent, was it worthy of sainthood, or was it a miracle that it ever got made?
I think it's interesting how they see him as a saint, but we'll get into it.
Yeah, so, and overall, did you enjoy the movie? Were you happy that you went?
I enjoyed the sentimentality of it, the family dynamics, and then the whole relationship between Vincent and the kid.
Oliver.
And, yeah, Oliver. So, I really liked the acting in this film. I thought that was pretty great.
Yeah, it's funny. Sainthood, or what was the other one?
Was it a miracle that ever got made?
There were parts that were actually miraculous in how it gets made. I think this movie had a lot of charm, a lot of heart and sentiment to it, which I really enjoyed. Your performances, I think all around, were really good, particularly Mr. Bill Murray. I thought he was fantastic in this movie. And the movie worked for me for the most part. I don't think ending-wise, it had everything wrapped up, left me questioning a couple of things. I was even with that said, there have been other movies that we've seen this year where I talked about where performance outshines weak story. I think this one had a stronger story and more of an emotional punch for me, emotional heart, and maybe because that kid... Jaden Gidd was
It was a great cast.
Awesome. He was so cool.
Yeah.
I really liked him.
Yeah.
And for me, there was much to like. I left the theater feeling good and feeling happy. And yeah, all in all, I thought it was a good movie-going experience for me.
Interesting, because at the end, I have to say, I got choked up. I was crying at the end. That thing got me. It was very effective. And I knew I was being manipulated the entire time. And I'm going, okay, here we go. And you see the scenes coming a mile away, and you know the moments, but they're working. There were lots of things I did like. There were lots of things I was just going, what is this doing in the movie? It makes no sense. The storyline never pans out. I don't even know why it's there. It looks like it was edited out or something. Anyway, so there were lots of parts of it I was just going, and I wanted more depth in it. But if you just relax and just allow it to be what it is, it's go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, and may I clarify, like, by end for me, I meant, like, sort of kind of like the final scene.
Everybody sitting down at dinner. Yeah, exactly.
This is where I was, like, going, and we'll get into it more, but it wasn't, like, the scene you're talking about, God, like, number one, yes, it's emotional, but in a good, like, it just felt good.
You're talking about the end scene where he's talking about...
Sainthood?
Yeah, he's explaining why he's a saint. Yeah.
Yeah,
man, that just worked for me. That kid was so good.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that part I liked the most of the movie was the message of it, where saints are not always in the form that we expect them to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice to look beyond that sometimes, even though he's a horrible, horrible example for a young child. But he also had some really good qualities, and for that kid to see them was a good thing.
And I think we as an audience see them too, and hence we get emotionally involved. You also, it is one of those movies. It wasn't necessarily like a Lifetime movie. I mean, life racked this guy pretty hard, regardless. Yes, he's a war hero, but it was nothing that he was really ever proud of. He had obviously the things with his wife and the Alzheimer's and that part of his life, not fantastic. And, I think it began a downward spiral for that character. At least this is the way that I interpreted or took from it.
Right.
And that life can take a toll on a person to where they may not have been that way at the beginning.
Yeah, we don't know that exactly.
But we do know that he loved his wife.
Yes.
And for some reason, she loved him. Mm-hmm. So there had to be a side of him that she really loved. And then when we see how she... how he approached his wife. Mm-hmm. I thought that was brilliant, how he showed up as a doctor.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, I was like, oh, you know, and then you go, okay, there is just something inside him.
All he wants really is one moment where she can remember who he is. That's what he's hoping for. And when he has that one moment where she calls him Vincent, it's everything to him.
Yeah, and
it's so fleeting. It's so fleeting, he's like, wisps away.
Yeah.
And it's just tragic. And you realize, and that she's been doing this for 8 years, doing her laundry for 8 years. I'm guessing she's been in this place for 8 years, and who knows for how long before she was in this home.
Yeah.
So you know, who knows what his life was right before all that happened. You can only see, like you said, the downward spiral. So all that's wrapped up in it, which is terrific. I wanted to mine some more of that and see some more of that, but you know, but it was nice that.
Me too. I wish we got a little glimpse of who he was. Even during the presentation, he used to be part of the war, and he's a veteran and stuff like that. I wish they went more in depth.
Along being a veteran.
What exactly happened that made him change his whole personality completely? Flip it. And I thought, you know, that because seeing him with his wife, I was like, he's actually a good guy. Mm-hmm. So what things made him completely switch to make him such an a-hole?
Yeah.
So then those are things I wanted in performance acting.
It may have been just that the trajectory of his life was this, and then when the wife also comes down with whatever, whether it's dementia or Alzheimer's, we don't know. We're not told specifically what it is, but it's something like that. I saw that in my father and what the toll it took my mother's situation. So I can see how that trajectory is interrupted, and I can see how one might go down one road and one might not.
Yeah.
In a sense, it's almost like a good psychological study. Like, is the product of your environment, how much effect does it have on you? Because, see, even before the scenes with his wife, I felt there were hints of humanity in the guy.
Well, the cat alone is enough.
Yeah. And... But even with the kid, taking him on and whatnot, and trying to teach him how to fight and do whatnot, I think these scenes came before we saw him going to the nursing home. And you felt that there was something there. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm glad they didn't over-sapify it, because they could have.
Oh, easily, you know? Every once in a while they dip their toe into sentimental talent. But they pull back for the most part.
Right, and... We got a nice balance.
The one thing that
Go ahead.
One thing that really, really bothered me is that it was so implausible for her to leave her kid with that guy that I couldn't take it seriously. I just had to say, okay, I have to suspend my disbelief here and just try to accept it for that. But then they kept wanting it to be a real experience. I go, yeah, but it's so completely not real that I can't take it that way.
Yeah,
so I think it suffers from that for me.
There were also moments where me, just as an audience member and, you know, growing up like that, it's just like sometimes you are stuck in situations where you can't leave work. And when you are the single parent, it's like you do anything that's like, yeah, he's there, I'm going to utilize him.
I can see it on the first
time. I can understand
time,
sometimes.
But not as an overall thing.
Yeah, but then also... Yeah. It's like after the second time, she understands, okay, he's just there. They're not doing anything terrible, so far as I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now.
That's why I just don't believe it.
But, I mean, I can just believe the certain situations. Yeah. Like, I had no choice but to leave him.
I could believe the first one. I couldn't believe extending that. And I couldn't believe her going, well, I guess they're okay. It's like, wait a minute. You're going to let your only kid and not know what's going on, but then profess that you need – it just was a mess.
I believed it because of because it happened out of, as you said, it happened out of a necessity. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, that the kids sort of kind of sold it to the mom, to Melissa McCarthy's character, when he was like, you know, so what do you – pardon me. What do you think of the guy? And he's like, well, he's sort of a jerk, but there are parts of him that are nice, and he's not all bad, and I think the kid sort of sold it to his mother, and so when...
Yeah,
I mean,
he does. They do in the movie, and again, I was going, oh, yeah. So first of all, you're going to believe the 9-year-old or 10-year-old, or however he is, so you're going to take his word for it. He's your only kid, and I guess he's not so bad. We know that your neighbors, we don't know who they are, and how many times we go, well, he seemed like such a quiet man. He's a serial killer. Right. I just have a hard time. I didn't believe... So because I didn't believe that premise, I was like, Yeah. All right. I have to step back and just let this be a parable. It's not. Don't take it seriously. Don't, because if you really, because even the other thing is, he's going to accept $40 and somehow that's going to pay off his debt to this Zuko character. It's like, what? No, none of that makes sense.
It had an 80s type of sensibility to it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was simple. My pet peeve, you know, about the movie, again, and it came like at the end after, you know, we got the emotional pull at the heartstrings. It was at the Thanksgiving Day dinner and they're sitting down and the movie's ending. And I'm like going, well, this is all fine and good, but I'm pretty sure he still owes his bookie. He's pretty much still in debt. He probably owes the nursing home. Nothing really, like, he still is in some trouble. I don't know how he's getting out of it because he's not working.
But they're a family. But,
which is nice.
That is nice.
I'm still thinking
but that's what I mean.
All
I
these
mean,
other things haven't been wrapped
up
yet.
It just felt like there were so many things that were kind of, and the whole Zuko thing is like, that completely gets dropped, and I was like, what's the point? We already know he has money woes. The fact that he doesn't have any money, his reverse mortgage is over, he can't get anything out of it anymore, and his wife needs this and X, Y, and Z, but now she's gone. I mean, all of that is still there. You don't even need the Zuko character, so why even bring him in?
Yeah, I don't.
Because it never pays off, I kept waiting for him, because it's Terrence Howard. I kept waiting for, well, how is that going to affect the kid? Because I thought for sure somehow the kid's going to be in jeopardy because of the Zuko, because why else bring him in?
Now you're totally going to 80s territory. Then we gotta kidnap the kid.
Well, not kidnap him, but it's just like, well, why bring him in? I mean, why? Because it doesn't really serve a purpose.
Yeah, other than perhaps it led to that scene that led to him getting the stroke.
Because he just up and left.
It could have been stressful.
It could have been any stress. And the way he lived his life, a stress was imminent. I mean, a stroke was imminent. I mean, the way he drank, the way he ate, pretty much that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it didn't really need that.
Yeah. So in the end, that was like the one thing that sort of kind of stuck out, I should say, for me. Pardon me. But like I said, the movie, the performances were so good all around. And you know, we'll talk about Bill Murray and the kid. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit, too. I want to get into, like, Melissa McCarthy.
Sure.
You know, Melissa McCarthy...
Why don't we talk acting across the board now? Go ahead. Let's start with Melissa.
Well, yeah, I wanted to start with her because this wasn't the normal comedic role for her.
We're used to seeing her in the Bridesmaids.
Like, in The Heat, which she's great, and Bridesmaids, which she's great. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But, like, this movie was a little bit different for her because she had to play it
dramatically.
She was straight. You know, the way that she delivers a line can still be funny, but she wasn't there for comedic effect. Mm-hmm. I appreciated that. I appreciated watching her this way. And I'm like going, you know, she can handle this. She can handle this independently.
We aren't used to it, but she had a lot of theater work in New York. And she was also
I was like, a lot of people automatically forget that she was in Gilmore Girls for 7 years. And that was, a funny comedic character in that, but she had serious moments. And so I know her from that before she blew up with Bridesmaids and all that.
She was the woman in the diner.
Yes. She was the chef.
The chef.
But you know, she was that fun, lovable character,
right?
More so than the over top, absurd kind of comedy that we're used to now with her. But I think it was great, and it really does show she's a great actress, and she has versatility between comedy and drama. And I want to see more serious roles from her like this because I believed her as that single, struggling mother who's doing anything to get away from her husband. And another probably desperate reason why she always left Oliver was someone rather leave it with this man that she has no attention.
I agree.
Then not be with her husband.
I totally agree with that. You can see the desperation there, but then you have to go one step further and go, wait, you know, you're smart enough to be a lab technician to some degree. I don't know specifically what her job is, but you're smart enough to have that experience. Yeah. But you're going to take your child away from your husband. They're in the middle of a door. So as soon as you take your child away, you're putting custody at risk because you basically just kidnapped your kid away from their husband. And so you don't realize that that's going to come back to bite you when you have to go into the legal system, that you have to be that much more aware of who's going to be watching your kid. It just doesn't make any sense. No woman would do that, especially a woman who's smart enough to be a lab technician.
I don't again, I think with the desperation that how she set up that marriage was, I think that the desperation for her to take her kid
Oh, I got that part, but then when you stop and think for a second, you kind of go, well, wait a minute here, because you know it's going to go down the road of, oh, custody battle. Guess what? Custody battle, they're going to do everything they can to make you look like a horrible parent, and you just put your kid, shunned him away for 40 bucks a day with some guy who's horrible. It just doesn't make any sense. It's not real at all, and you have to just go, okay, turn your brain off and hopefully go for the ride.
Go for the parable.
Go for the parable. Yeah. And that's the only way you can do it. If you really start thinking, it just ruins it for you.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that we're overthinking that, and she wasn't.
Yeah, she wasn't. But again, that's what pissed me off, because she's not a stupid character. If she was stupid or unaware or in some way lame in how to handle her kid, I'd believe it. But she wasn't. She wasn't any of those things. She was a smart person. She knew what was going to be happening, at least to some degree, because when it was a surprise to her in the court, oh, my God, I had no idea. She knew, oh, this looks bad. And it took her, what, 3 months or whatever to figure it out? Just doesn't hold anymore.
Well, she was working a lot.
Yeah, okay. She was working a lot.
My thing was, like, I thought one moment watching the film that I was like, doesn't the school have an aftercare program or something that the kid could have, that's a private school. Yeah. I'm sure they could probably afford that or have some type of program to set up for parents that still have to go through that situation. I'm like, okay, maybe he could have gone through that instead of being with the neighbor.
I think the reason why it made me mad is because, you know, in our own writing, whenever I have to submit something, if I get any chance, anybody goes, did you think about this for 2 seconds? I mean, because seriously, it's an easy fix, and it bothered me because you want me to suspend so much disbelief that I can't take the rest of this seriously. If you had taken half a minute to actually give me a plausible reason for this, I'd have been on board the whole way.
Yeah.
And it just pissed me off.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it to an extent, but I was buying into it. Again, because this is, you know, I was looking forward to the relationship, you know, between Vincent and Oliver here, which I liked the way that
They interacted was
true. I liked the way that they interacted a lot. Mm-hmm. I also enjoyed Naomi Watts as
having
Daka.
A great time as Daka.
She
why not?
Had a great time, and she was able to put Vincent in his place, and I really liked her. You know, again, it's the sort of kind of the prostitute with a heart of gold almost, but you know, she was, it was,
and the whole time it's Naomi Watts, a pregnant Naomi Watts with a Russian accent as a stripper. Okay.
Yeah, you know, she was having a great time.
Yeah, but you're having a great time. It's like, you never once do I think this is at all real. But,
yeah.
I mean, because let's face it, when we first see the belly, they could have done a little bit better job on that, but you know, he's kind of okay.
For the production,
No, I liked her because she even has a funny story of, you know, working on the Russian accent. She wanted to get it down so perfectly on point that she actually found a Russian salon full of Russian stylists and cosmetology people, and she just hung out there and filmed them and tried to get their accent down on point.
Well, I thought her accent held up better than Murray's Brooklyn accent, because his was kind of like all over the map. Yeah.
You know, and then I liked Chris O'Dowd.
Oh, I did too, but I kind of like him in just about everything.
And he was just, but he was so fun as the priest. Yeah, you know, teacher,
and having had a childhood with priests, not that kind of childhood, but you know, being in the church, it was like, gosh, I wish I had a priest like that when I was growing up.
I mean, he was good. And then the kid who played Ozinski,
he's all right.
Dario Barrasso. Mm-hmm. I love this Brooklyn, like, smart-ass mouth kid. And I loved how they fought it out. And then he became good friends with him. And I thought he was a
And you knew that was going to happen, though.
Kind of friend for Oliver to have.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, I like that kid. I like their friendship. And I'm glad that they didn't just make the kid to be just the tough and the bully, you know, that was going to plague him even after the fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to an extent. But
clean toilets would do
that
for you. Yeah, it could have gone either way. You knew it was going to happen and stuff, so, and that was kind of the thing. It was like, I wish he could have figured out a slightly oblique way to get into that so it wouldn't be so obvious, and that would have been, more fun and more successful. But it was nice that at least after the fight, you can see them having this respect and cleaning the toilets, they become friends.
And we also find out that they are very similar,
yes.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I liked, you know, how he doesn't like people calling him Ozisky. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I liked that scene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then when Oliver sticks up for him, mm-hmm. like, I was like, okay, like, I get it. That's the starting of a good friendship. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so maybe making this move coming up and in the end when we find out about I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, custody was 50-50. Right? Or yeah. something to that extent.
And that was the idea of it. Well, and we were still, they hadn't figured everything right. out, but we were, yeah, so, 50-50 at the moment.
You know, and as we were talking about, like, this Jaden Lieberher,
yeah.
You know, this kid was great. I loved how he finished everything with, like, sir.
Yeah, or, exactly. You know,
I like that. So it was a kid with manners, and you're right. Yeah. Melissa McCarthy, somebody brought him up with some yeah. manners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I appreciated that, mm-hmm. you know.
It's nice to say we normally don't see that in film scenes.
Yeah.
like in kids these days, yeah. not even a so. Film. But, yeah.
I know we haven't talked about this yet, but apparently on the set, Melfi, the director, writer-director, by the way, it's his feature film debut.
Theodore Melfi.
Theodore Ted. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, he asked Bill if he wanted to meet Jaden and rehearse with him before. Then he goes, no, I don't want another kid.
Yeah.
Which is smart because you want to have maintain some sort of distance so that it feels real when you actually get together.
Mm-hmm.
So they hadn't met or didn't know each other until the first day they had to start shooting together. And then after the first day of shooting, apparently, Melfi says that Bill came up to him and said, hey, kid's good.
Yeah. Well, he liked him so much
yeah.
that he recommended him for Cameron Crowe's. He called Jaden up Cameron.
Jaden recommended Bill.
I thought it was the other way around.
I heard it was the other way around.
I thought that the kid went and was in Cameron Crowe's
Maybe
movie.
I'm wrong, but somebody told me it was the other way around, which I thought was even funnier.
And I just think that...
Yeah. Well, either way, yeah. Great. Either I way, mean, it's great.
I just mm-hmm. like that the fact that they got along and that yeah. Bill Murray... You know, Bill Murray has become... He's the eccentric guy.
He has no agent. He has no manager. The only way to get a hold of him is an 800 serious. Number if you can get the 800 number and...
Yeah.
Apparently, Melfi tried many times, called, leaving messages, and wasn't able to get a hold of him. He finally got a call back.
Yeah.
That's how you get him to... we're telling the rest of the story.
Go ahead.
There's a whole story.
Yeah. Go ahead. Let's get into that.
Oh, well, goodness. So he calls the 800, leaves the message, and then one day he got the message from theater wanting to meet up.
Yeah. And Bill Murray calls theater and says, hey, shoot, let's meet.
Yeah, who are you? Yeah. He basically says, I don't Google, who
he
are you?
He explains himself, and then there was an... And then they hung up. And they were in 3 weeks in limbo. And then another day, Bill called him, and he's like, "Meet me at LAX."
Well, but before that,
mm-hmm. you can tell you're better.
Well,
stories.
No. Well, before that too is that you know you can pick up like he's like, "Okay, who are you?" Bill mm-hmm. Murray says to Melfi, "He's like, I don't Google." So Melfi explains. He goes, "Huh? Okay, this sounds good." He goes, "Well, I'm going to be at Cannes." He goes, "Come meet me in Cannes." And Melfi's like, "You know what? I'm working on a different project. I can't." He goes, well, maybe this wasn't meant to be. And he hung up on him. And Melfi was like, he goes, he didn't hear from him for like 2 weeks. He goes, it was the worst 2 weeks of my life. Yeah. He's like, oh my, you know, because you're at that crossroads.
Yeah.
It's like,
you got him on the phone. How hard is that? And then, boom, he hangs
should
up
I have
on
gone
you.
To Cannes? And then he called him back up. And right where.
Yeah, he said, maybe the airport. They met at the LAX. They got in a car.
They drive down to this Indian reservation.
They drive 3 hours out of LAX.
To play golf. And then they were talking about the script the whole time.
Yeah. And they had In-N-Out Burger. Yeah. And my guess is it's probably the one in Sepulveda Bay.
Yeah, by the LAX, sure, why not? And
they're like, yes, let's make this movie.
and what he said of his script, too, he's like, there's a difference between sentiment and sentimentality. Mm-hmm. And he goes, this isn't a Lifetime movie, and he liked the human emotion. Mm-hmm. And Melfi actually sold him sold him getting into it. Now, did you know who they had, Melfi... went to first?
Nicholson.
And he passed. I think it would have been a completely different movie.
But it was also Jack Nicholson suggested Bill Murray.
Was that right? Yeah. I hadn't heard that one. That's very
interesting. Because Jack Nicholson felt like he wasn't the best person for that, but he suggested Bill.
Actually, I think that was very wise of Nicholson, because I don't think Nicholson would have been right for that.
No. And
who am I to say that? But I'm sure he would have killed it and everything like that, but it just... Age-wise and the whole thing.
Yeah. And for me, watching Bill Murray in this role, especially it was at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Number one, I loved how this movie opened up with Bill Murray telling a joke. Mm-hmm. And it was
that dies. It's funny, but it dies.
I thought it was hysterical.
It was funny, but it did not.
The theater,
it didn't work in the.
Goes,
no, but I'm telling who right. he told the joke to. They yeah. didn't get it. So.
And people are like, I didn't get the joke. And yeah. I'm like, Porsche, is yeah. the Porsche, and mm-hmm. whatever. There were hints, wisps of the Bill Murray, like why I fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. Saturday Night Live mm-hmm. because Bill Murray could kill a character like he would be his like Star Wars guy, or he could make a character and his mannerisms, his facial expressions would just kill me. Like I'd be laughing at him, and there are wisps of this. Even the way he ate ice cream, I was like, this is the Bill Murray that I love. And It was great to see him that way, and then it just brought back things like Ghostbusters Stripes, movies that we've talked about. But then, you know, we also know that he can act seriously, mm-hmm. which he was able to pull off. Such a fine line for an actor like that to be able to switch the gears and be able to do something like when there was slow motion punching each mm-hmm. other, and Bill Murray was doing the over-exaggerated slow-mo fallback, but then he can be in the scene with his wife. Dressing up as a doctor because that's the only thing that the wife can hang on to mm-hmm. is that, oh, hi, doctor. How are you? And I thought he was amazing. I really did. I truly think that this performance for him was, I'm glad he chose. I'm glad he said yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it was great. Those slow moments that were exaggerated that really showed me for a character that, like, he used to be that kind of guy, and that's probably what his wife used to love in him. Mm-hmm. He used to be the comedic who would always joke, and she would probably be the only one who gets it. And so stuff like that,
you know
that
what,
was
you're
like
right.
that was who he was used yeah. to, but mm-hmm. now these people don't, and mm-hmm. that's what his wife probably loved about him.
Yeah, and I liked when he was teaching the kid how to fight. He's like, yeah, I'm going to teach you a movie. Break that kid's nose. He goes, break his nose. He goes, yeah, you're not going to get it right. You're not going to, don't worry. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was something that was organic too about the relationship between the kid. And I think I only believed it because of the performances of each mm-hmm. one of them.
Yeah.
To buy it, you know? I mean, it could have gone either way. It
yeah,
could have been overdone.
Easily, but then so whoever was the final decision on Jaden, congratulations.
It was the director.
Melfi, okay.
1,600 people, sure. he said, yeah. around the world, and he saw him in a Super Bowl ad.
Wow.
And he said, because that's what I'm looking for. He goes, mm-hmm. I want to see him in, I believe it was a 2013 mm-hmm. Super Bowl ad. And he, you know, he sought the kid out, mm-hmm. and he ended up getting the part. So good for him.
Yeah, because awesome. He was great in those scenes with
yeah.
Murray for sure,
and even with his mom too.
Yeah,
I thought, you know, mm-hmm. the kid. Oh, and with DACA.
Yeah, it just seems like in some of those scenes with Murray, it seems like those were kind of improvised on the set. I mean, that's what I think. I don't know if they were, but
yeah.
You could easily think of them that way because they seem so are organic and. Intuitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, those are the parts that really struck a chord with me.
Well, those are the four major actors. We talked to Terrence Howard a little bit. But
yeah.
Like,
sort of,
yeah.
Okay, he's there, but I'm not exactly
and
sure
even
why.
Scott Atza, who played
yeah,
the husband. I kind of like, wanted to see more of him.
And he just shows up and, okay, what? All right. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, we as the audience hear that he cheated and he's not the greatest dad, but we only saw him for two scenes.
Yeah.
And from what we saw, I was like, okay, he's just being the dad picking up his son.
Yeah.
I don't see him as an a-hole character.
Right.
And it was just, that's what upset me, that we were told all these things about him, but
we didn't
see it.
Yeah, we didn't get to see him. And I thought that would have been very good to see, especially we could see how it affected Oliver, and we didn't get to see that.
Yeah, it's funny. Not because I was thinking it would have been interesting had he showed up in the car mm-hmm. and say one of the women that Melissa McCarthy's character
right.
talked was mm-hmm. in the car.
Right.
You know, because then you would have gone, oh, you know what? That's low class. That's mm-hmm. not. That's
but
not
it also, because
right.
he could have compared and contrast that with Vincent and DACA. I mean, it
right.
would have been an interesting way for Oliver to reconcile, okay,
absolutely.
That's who this guy is, who I think is the same. That's who this guy is, who's my dad.
Yeah.
It would have been interesting to see that, and we didn't get to see that.
No.
So, which
yeah,
for me it was unfortunate.
And for that, because we didn't get the whole stories fleshed out like that, mm-hmm. it felt like they were just cameos.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and Nick Cordry has a nice cameo. Well, yeah. You know, he does
exactly,
a fine job.
That they were
the pencil pusher.
They were just there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But me as an audience member, I was like, okay, you're there, do something.
Yeah, and you know, and that's why I really felt like the Terrence Howard thing. I think that it felt like that was a larger story that probably just got cut down because I can't see the reason for that.
Right.
So I'm going, please, you know, and if it ended up on the cutting room floor, maybe there's a good reason for that, but they could have easily pulled the whole thing out and we wouldn't even need it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I will say this for the movie. It was paced fine. Like,
yeah,
I didn't find that I was bored.
No.
You know, I was so involved again with this character and the mm-hmm. story or actually the acting, the performance and mm-hmm. wanting to see how this is going to turn out. And again, why was this being called St. Vincent?
Yeah.
You know, I liked how that was all put together and even how they lied to Vincent to get him to go because they knew
he wouldn't show up at this thing. No way.
So did
you guys read that on how the story came to be and that really happened to his niece?
Yeah, it was basically...
This is Melfi's story.
It was, Melfi was inspired by his niece and his father-in-law. Mm-hmm. And apparently he and his wife, they adopted their 11-year-old niece after Melfi's older brother passed away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they enrolled her at a Catholic school mm-hmm. out here at Sherman Oaks,
right.
California.
Mm-hmm.
And she was assigned a project at school to find a real-life person who mimics the qualities of a saint. She picked St. William of Rochester.
Patron saint of
adopted children.
Yeah. Which is cool.
There you go.
And I was like, oh my God, this was a moment. And she picked me.
Yeah,
and
she said Melfi. Person who's
not me, Dimitri. Nobody would pick me as a saint. Theodore or Ted Melfi. And
patron saint of lost films.
Yeah.
Dimitri Pons.
They just lost something. And that's the story that he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, he chose his estranged estranged father-in-law, mm-hmm. Paul, to be the inspiration for Bill Murray's
Vincent,
character,
right.
Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
And
so art and entertaining life there.
Yeah. And I also like that Paul Quinn, like Vincent, had a lot of vices but didn't have a relationship with his daughter, and she decided to reach out, and she said she wrote him like a dear dad letter and mailed it to his house, and she mails it. 2 weeks later, the phone rings, and he goes, "Kim, it's your dad." She just starts crying. They ended up being a father and daughter love affair for the last 10 years of his life.
There you go.
So that's nice little life inspirational, and you know.
I think I might have wanted to see that more.
but again, you understand, and this movie I felt was directed with that heart and sentiment into it.
Definitely sentiment, yeah.
That you mm-hmm. could tell that, and apparently Melfi is a church-going gentleman with his mm-hmm. family, and you could see how that affected this type of movie. I don't see Theodore Melfi going on directing John Wick 2, but perhaps we'll get some more dramas mm-hmm. or maybe even a dramedy or something of this. You could see that because of his passion and his mm-hmm. his life experience, he brought that on film.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bad journey for
him. And it felt like more so a passion film and just to get the story out there as well because Melfi even raised $800,000 just to start this film and
right.
then UTA agents mm-hmm. actually believed this film could be bigger.
Well, it was on the blacklist in 2011, so it was one of the top 10 scripts unproduced in that season, so
yeah.
It had its merits going in.
Yeah, and he had directed, I guess, television and commercials.
Yeah. And he did shorts.
And a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Wait, he's a commercial director.
Yeah, and I've worked in a commercial set and filmed... Film set, a commercial set is much more frantic, and you know, I worked in a McDonald's commercial,
mm-hmm.
Man, you know, they call everybody McGrips, McDesigners, McScenery. I'm not joking. That is serious. I'm not joking.
That'll get old.
You know, and you're only on a commercial for a couple of days, 3 days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even got yelled at a guy because I couldn't tie a McKnot or something. Not joking. Like, so I get that going from a commercial to a feature film mm-hmm. because he was like, well, what's the most difficult challenge? Because mm-hmm. that's a big leap. And he's like, you know... whoa, the intensity of a feature film is like, it's long, exhausting, and it seems like it's never going to end. And I've been in a film, and you live, eat, and breathe that movie for how long you're working on that set.
Yeah, in reverse to that, at the TIFF Film Festival this year, they asked Bill what were the challenges, because, you know, Bill's such a seasoned actor, what were the challenges working with a first-time film director? And he always said, it's hard to yell at a director when he's trying to think he knows what he's doing. So, you know, and he was obviously joking about it, but he's like, yeah, you know, I noticed when he was trying to do something, you wouldn't normally do it like that. And you can't really say that to your director, though. Right. So it's, it was just that they each, all of them, just had a fun time working with each other, especially Melfi being the first-time film director, you know, and just working through that.
And even Murray himself felt that there was a confidence that Melfi had in his screenwriting and in directing that he, you know, went along. And, Melfi has advice for other directors, and he calls it happy delusion. As he's quoted at, and he goes, here's how it works. Nothing in the entire universe is impossible, and all you have to do is believe that and say it out loud. Or to yourself. Or write it down. Let me say this. St. Vincent will make $175 million domestic, and Bill Murray will win an Academy Award and a Golden Globe. He goes, am I crazy? Yes. Do I care? No. Fuck it. He goes, you only live once in this life. Believe you can do something and say it out loud and make it so. And I'm like, that's solid advice. And the worst thing that happens when you shoot for the stars is you hit the moon. That age old adage is my mantra. And that's how we went into this and getting it and having it picked up and the Weinstein Company putting out. And he even had kind things to say about the Weinsteins. What? I mean, it's like, you know, they have a reputation. He goes, of coming in, he goes, you know, they didn't invade my editing room. Wow. Much at all. He goes, his honest opinion, they only are an issue if they think that there is something wrong or problematic. Then you'll have a problem. He goes, maybe they just didn't think there was a problem in this movie. Yeah. And they seem to be supporting this film.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. They supported it from the beginning, because even Harvey Weinstein even helped secure Bill Murray and lock in his deal. Casting the deal for this film. So, yeah. So once Bill came on, you know, everybody else just kind of came up.
Because he came on in 2012, if I'm not mistaken. I think Bill came out in 2012. Of course, Melissa didn't come on until 2013. So Dowd shortly after that. And
Melissa fell in love with the script. And that's what she loved about the film.
And having a chance to work with Bill Murray.
She always wanted to work with Bill, and she said she thought she would never have that opportunity. Yeah.
Now, I got to ask this, because in researching the movie, it was all about Bill Murray. Anywhere you went, it was tough. I had to look up other things like, what was the audition process? How did they find this kid? What did they do? And, you know, and rightfully, you know, Bill Murray has he's just, by being in like Moonrise, you know, working with what's the actor's name? Moonrise Kingdom.
The actor's name?
The director's name. I'm sorry. Who's the director that does those movies?
Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson, thank you. But, you know, he's gotten off from making the comedies that we all fell in love with him back in the 90s, and now he does a lot
Stripes
more of these.
And Ghostbusters.
And he's doing these independent movies. Sure. But he's made a transition, and audiences like
seeing
him.
Since Rushmore.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And
another Wes Anderson.
Watching him in St. Vincent, where he's more or less like the lead, in a sense. It was good to see him back. There's been a lot of Oscar talk. Bill Murray.
It's nice to see him in something else other than Wes Anderson.
Than a Wes
films.
Anderson movie.
It's
so hard to get a hold of. Maybe
but it is possible, and that really goes to show just Melfi as a director.
His tenacity.
Tenacity. His determination to get this film going.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Bill Murray was just recently on Howard Stern, like a couple of weeks ago. And it was really funny because Howard Stern, it was the first time he had ever been on the show, like physically on the show. And Howard was talking about St. Vincent. He's like, well, what do you think about all this Academy Award stuff? And he's like, oh, you know, Howard, he goes, it's the first movie out of the gate. Mm-hmm. He goes, it's getting a lot of attention like that. He goes, and there's going to be more movies down. And he just, everything just seems to roll off him. And man, I wish I could be that comfortable in life where, it is what it is. Oh, let's go get some In-N-Out.
Well, let's face it. He's been there many times where they've had a lot of Oscar buzz about him, and then it hasn't come to be. So he's probably
What do we think? What do we think as a panel? I mean, is acting-wise?
I thought he did a great job. I don't think the role is enough for him because I don't think it had enough depth for Oscar nod.
Okay.
For me, I thought, and I'm not saying that he couldn't if it had been there, but it just wasn't there. I would really like to see him get his sink his teeth into something with a lot more depth work, because he had similar moments in Monuments Men. I don't know if you remember that one moment in Monuments Men. I'm going, there you go. This guy can do
what he needs
to do.
You
got to really give him something. And even this, which had obviously much more breadth to it, it didn't have a lot of depth. At least for me, it needed to have more in order for the Oscars to go, yeah, there you go. Because you could see glimmers of it, but it was just not. It just, well, there you go. It's too surface for me.
How about you?
Yeah, I feel, going off the depth too. And then I feel like you could replace him with other actors who, because there wasn't a real physical challenge there. There wasn't really big emotional challenge there. Mm. I mean, I feel like there would be a lot of actors you could swap out with him. Mm-hmm. It would make the dynamics slightly different, but the ranges were within reach.
That was the other thing.
That
a
lot of people could easily.
Because he's pretty much the same character at the beginning, and he has a small little arc. But usually the Oscar nods go to people who have a larger arc in terms of their character. This one, it just doesn't.
Yeah, and it feels like him as an actor, there wasn't the challenge there.
Interesting. Okay. So I will say that I'll be the only one in the panel. I mean, I think there's potential there.
Sure, absolutely.
I think there's potential for the performance, not potential for the movie. I think the movie...
Well, I do too, because he's such a... He's so well-liked in terms of...
And I think his again, it's a fine balance for me for what he had to do, and that is he had to play the curmudgeon, but he still had to be likable. Because if you played it... If we hated him, then I don't care. I wouldn't believe that this kid would have picked him for a saint, period. And the kid saw deeper than... And I thought he balanced it out very well, where I could believe... Mm-hmm. that he was this nice guy. And I think the potential is there for him. I mean, maybe because it is the first movie out of the gate and it's getting all that attention.
Yeah, and it would obviously highly depend on what else is coming around the corner.
That's true. So. We got tons coming out around the corner.
But, I mean, would he be, in your mind, in this scenario, is he lead or supporting? Because I'd have to say, in terms of the story, he'd be the lead because he's the only one who has any kind of an arc.
Yeah, I would go lead because the movie opens with him.
It is. It's named for him, but, because nobody would put the kid there. But if he's lead, I have a hard time thinking that he would win just because I don't think – usually you'll have a much grander scale for somebody who's going to win lead actor.
And on that, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with. Mm-hmm. I think there's potential there for at least a nomination. Mm-hmm. And again, we haven't – we're going to talk about all these other movies coming out, so we'll be able to be better educated and – compare and contrast, but I think at least for the outset, this was a good turn for when you're talking about,
I agree
going
with
into,
Bill, though. It's like, it's first one out of the gate. Of course it's going to have.
I agree. But, he does a good turn. Sure. And I think audiences that are going to see St. Vincent, well, let's take a look. I think audiences going to see St. Vincent
like
are liking it and him.
Yeah, sure. Wasn't that to like? I mean, there really isn't anything to like. I mean, first of all, he's irascible. He's, he's everything you expect Bill Murray to be, which is great. And then he has a kid, which he gets to liven him up, which is terrific.
Yeah.
And he gets to throw out one-liners every now and then. The weird ones like, why is he mowing your dirt?
Yeah.
And then she says, is that alcohol? Honestly, I can't remember. His timing and everything, you just go, it's Bill Murray.
He brings the older demographic in with that dry humor.
Right.
Because the audience that I was in, I was the youngest one in my audience by far. Because everyone else was probably older 60s, 50s.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, I was the youngest, obviously, there. So, he brings the older, more serious generation that would still get those jokes.
Right. Was your experience the same in terms of the audience? What was the breakdown?
Yeah, I mean, my audience... It was mixed. I mean, it wasn't comprised of, young. There were a lot of couples there. I will disagree with you on the one point. I really do think that I don't think anybody else could have played the role as Bill Murray played the role. I really think that Bill Murray, and I say that too, even about his comedic roles that I grew up, where I fell in love with Bill Murray, is that he, there's just something about him, whether it's the way that he can improvise.
He's a lovable loser.
And it's his physicality, it's his face, and it is the way that he delivers that line that nobody else, he's gifted in that. He's gifted that he has that gift to be able to make people laugh, or now he can be a good actor. My audience makeup, I think, was somewhat mixed, but I can't really tell. I wouldn't say that I was the oldest, and I wasn't definitely the youngest. But that's interesting. Was it crowded when you went?
It was slightly crowded. I mean, I went at night. It wasn't like super late, and I think it was only an 8 o'clock screening. But I was the youngest one in mine.
How's the business on this? Because we know that we got a 75 from critics, we got 85 from audience, so that's roughly the scoring.
Yeah, and we have an A minus in cinema score. Yeah. And regarding its, you know, its total, I couldn't find a flat out production budget.
I have $13 million,
which makes sense because the P&A hard drives and advertising, estimated 28 mil. So 13 plus the advertising, that makes about sense. It opened up, you know.
Yeah, it had a very limited release.
It opened up on October 10th, New York and L.A. It did 109,000, which at the time when it came out, very good.
Very strong
per
for a
screen,
showing, yeah.
Per screen average. Right now, to date, it's at about 11 million or so estimated. So
I think word of mouth is pretty good on this. I think
word of mouth,
well.
And I think it's going to hang in there until the next indie movie.
And I think it's on the strength of Bill, because I think people will go, and also there are a lot of Melissa fans, I should say, but I don't know if they'll go specifically for her because it's not in the role that she's known for, but they might want to see it because, oh, this is her doing something else. But they won't be disappointed if they go because she does such a good job in it.
Agreed.
So, but I think most of the strength will be, oh, let's see Bill have a good time, because that's what you're going, it's what you're paying
and
$10 for or whatever.
Yeah, and even the kid, a lot of people don't know him too because he's still an up and coming actor. He's not the big name draw
he's not
as
the draw.
Well.
But I didn't, you know, again, because I don't do a lot of trailer watching, I had no idea Naomi Watts was in this. I had no idea she was in this. So, she's on the poster, because I don't pay attention, but I was like, whoa, Naomi.
But
nice.
She had the biggest transformation, I feel, as an actress in this film, out of everyone. I mean,
Bill, the way she looks.
Bill didn't really transform himself.
No.
She was the most different type of character than she normally plays.
Yeah. Which is why
which was great.
Great for her. Yeah. What I get to do what? Absolutely, I'm in. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the downside there?
Yeah.
She even took classes for the pole dancing and she hurt her neck.
She hurt her neck.
Or she had
pole
like
dancing.
Neck pains.
I think she's doing it wrong.
It's a serious art form.
Yes. I mean, someone who,
yes.
There are classes.
It's not easy, let me tell you.
It is not
easy. It's very challenging.
So,
I threw out my back.
Props to the people who can.
I cracked the pole. It fell on
Whoa.
Me.
So it's doing well.
Yeah, it's doing pretty well.
Yeah, I think in a wider release, it's going to do nice business.
Yeah, and they just broke open wide this past weekend. So going into the award season, and when there's all this talk about it, and there's still publicity on it, they're still buying. I still see some ads on TV. Which I think the Weinsteins, if anything, they are great strategists.
Yeah, exactly.
When it comes to this. So you know that the screeners are going to be going out very, very soon. And they're going to, you know, they're probably going to hit Bill Murray up, and Bill Murray will do what he...
Well, he does.
What he does.
If he does.
He'll be on the links.
If they can get a hold of him.
Yeah, he'll be on the links.
He returns a call.
I didn't realize he is a huge golfer. Yeah. He is a very, very serious golfer.
Yeah.
In fact, he had even said he had just come from Scotland, where he was golfing on one of the...
Birthplace of golf.
Prior to coming to the Howard Stern Show. Mm. And, you know, he said he'd been into golf since he was a kid. He was a caddy. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
didn't you see that documentary of him being a groundskeeper?
Caddyshack. Yeah. I love that movie. Yeah. Documentary. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was a caddy and I didn't get into golfing the way he did, but hey, look at his life. You know, he gets the golf And then, oh yeah, maybe I'll pick up this. Maybe I'll pick up my phone, my 800 number phone. He only picked up a cell phone, mm-hmm. so he could text with his kids. I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
He doesn't even,
maybe.
You know. So good.
All right,
for him.
So we haven't talked anything about the production side, like DP or editing. So first of all, let's go to the directing. We know we talked a little bit about writing and the script and how mm-hmm. we felt about it. And I felt it needed to be, well, real, more depth, but you right. guys were okay with it. But I struggled with part of it. But let's talk about his directing overall. Were you guys okay with it? Happy with it? Were you
I felt
struggling
for
with it?
He because he's the writer aspect. Mm-hmm. I felt that he kind of fell short on that, mm-hmm. and for the you know having everyone come full circle in mm-hmm. their storylines. That's not so much as but. The storyline and actual execution of everything, mm-hmm. I felt that, you know, the pacing was pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple story, so, yeah. and we can all understand it. Mm-hmm. One particular scene I really just did enjoy was every time he was with his wife. And then mm-hmm. the sad scene when mm-hmm. the realization his wife is no longer there. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he got the performance out of Bill, after everything just gone through mm-hmm. that stroke, that was really well done.
Yeah. For me, I thought he did a very capable job for making this independent, mm-hmm. small-budgeted movie, and this being his first-time feature. I don't know what it is, but sometimes when you have a person who comes from commercials or mm-hmm. music videos, the movies tend to look that way. There's a glossy mm-hmm. feel. In some cases, like Ridley Scott, mm-hmm. who came from commercials, you know, but his movies have a look to them.
Yeah, Alien,
yeah,
for instance.
And, yeah, and, you know, Melfi, the mere fact that he was able to come from doing shorts, mm-hmm. I think his short films helped him because this movie didn't look like a commercial to me.
Mm-hmm, no.
It wasn't glossy. It wasn't quickly cut. I think he let the story play out. Whatever the story shortcomings, because I know that he wrote mm-hmm. it, but he seemed to be very familiar. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, too. Sometimes you get the sense if it's a writer-director, sometimes the director isn't familiar with the writer, and it's the same person. And this is the story he wanted
yeah,
to tell.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like he shot what he wanted to.
Yes.
So
yeah.
For that sense, I think he was.
And it wasn't boring to me at all. Mm-hmm. And I thought the parts of New York that they, you know, the outer boroughs of mm-hmm. New York, it was nice that we weren't, like, in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So he got great performances from his actors, from everybody.
And there were also some, no, sorry to cut
no,
you
no,
off.
No,
there were
no,
also
no,
some shots that he would let the camera just keep
just
rolling
sit there, yeah.
to get the natural, genuine reactions mm-hmm. out of the actors, especially when he left. During the scene when he realizes his wife is no longer there, mm-hmm. he's just sitting there and the camera's still going. And I'm like, mm-hmm. yes. So there were moments where he decided to go longer than mm-hmm. other moments and like really let it play out.
Yeah. So for me, learning that he was a commercial director, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's odd because...
You didn't see that in this film.
I didn't
you
see that
guess
in this movie.
That, right?
I didn't see the way that it was cut. And you're right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I'm not saying mm-hmm. all your commercial and music I don't want to lump them in.
No.
But in some cases...
Yeah, you can tell.
You can tell.
Yeah.
There's a visual flair to them.
Well, he even spoke of that about yeah. some directors have a certain style, or as he called it, this is what Melfi says, they have a stink about it. So certain film directors will... You can smell their stink on whatever film it is. And this is what that's the word he used. And he said, I just wanted the story to be right. itself rather than have it look like a certain... person's film.
And yeah, and I liked all this specific shots he did of his house, of Vincent's house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The house is a mess. There mm-hmm. you can see all the
yeah.
food still lying around, like no one cleans up. It makes me
yeah.
believe that the wife is probably the one that cleaned
oh,
up
yeah,
and
yeah.
when she left he just didn't care
well,
anymore.
Well, even so much
you know,
so
like
that
he,
when
yeah,
he comes
wasn't
home.
The caretaker, the wife
my
was.
Dirt?
It was my
And
that's
then,
all my dirt.
And then the fence was still.
The fence, yeah.
And yes, the yard.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you can show that
he
was just a mess as a person
yeah.
and in his environment.
Yeah.
And it was also, it helped with the story and the other
mm-hmm.
characters that he let into his life
mm-hmm.
to help
yeah.
him,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
clean his house
right.
and take care of the things that should be taken care of.
And again, going back to Melfi, like I don't necessarily see Ted Melfi directing a Transformer movie, even though we,
I don't know that he'd even want to.
But that's fine. I can see him doing, like, there have been a couple.
I don't think anybody will direct a Transformer movie. Except
you're probably right there. But he'll like, I could see him doing like a This Is Where I Leave You. I could see him doing kind of those kind of movies. Well, I could see him doing
it, even because we were talking about the look of it. The DP, John Lindley, Mr. Brooks, Legion, Reservation Road, editors Dan in Real Life, which is very similar to This Is Where I Leave You. So he put a team together, like Lost in Translation. Sarah Flack was edited that, and then Peter Tesher also did Dodgeball, Borat, Horrible Bosses. So he put a team together that is befitting of the movie that he actually made.
Yeah, and look at the cinematographer. Did you bring up John Lindley? This guy did Field of Dreams.
Right.
For crying out loud. This guy, Pleasantville.
I know, but he also did movies like Legion.
You've Got Mail.
So very, I mean, that's a, talk about
that's a
breadth.
Higher
scale that's
movie.
That's a range there. And I would never guess that the same DP did those.
No.
But, the thing about that I liked about this is it just felt like you were plunked down in this area. It didn't, like you said, it wasn't overly, there was no crazy artifice to it or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just kind of was a sense of realism, which is what you would expect, I guess. And it certainly didn't get in the way, which sometimes they get in the way,
absolutely,
the editing style, whatever. And no, this was all, I thought, exactly what it needed to be in order to serve the story the best.
Yeah. And so, I could see him maybe directing like a little bit, maybe more of a little broader comedy. Maybe
I think
a 40-year-old virgin kind of comedy, but something a little.
Well, I kind of wish that he would, because
I would
want him to go in that area, because there are times when I thought, he might live better out there. Because why not go there? And
you could
have
do like
fun.
The Ron Howard comedy,
right?
That, like a Parenthood or something like that.
Because for me, it was kind of hit. It was in the middle, which I didn't want. I either wanted it to be a much broader comedy, or I wanted it to be much more serious and in depth. And it was kind of a spot in the middle, which didn't hit a sweet spot for me.
Interesting.
So I kind of wanted him to pick one.
Okay.
So, but I think he'd be capable of doing either one of those.
Yeah.
But sure. I felt for a first-time director and being caught in the middle, that you said, John, that he can go either way.
That's
it.
I mean,
shows that him as a versatile, he has room to grow.
Yeah, and I felt like I personally felt he balanced the movie pretty well. And like you said earlier, or you said, I mean, he picked a good crew of people to work together with. And we always talk about this collaborative process.
Right, yeah.
And when you pick a good crew to be around you, and then you pick somebody who's supportive, like a lead actor, like a Bill Murray. Yeah, it
makes your job a lot easier.
Well, and it shows on screen. It really does. So I really think that this movie, it shows on screen.
And Bill's performance also made me want him to, I want somebody to give that guy a chance on a real meaty, dramatic role. I mean, one of the reasons why he did Razor's Edge is because he wanted to do something more serious. And that was way back when. And, you could see that he had, it wasn't hugely successful for him, but I really want to see that from him, because I think that's where he really wants to go, and I would love to see it, because I think it would be something new and different, and it would be amazing if they let him.
I
don't know if they give him those roles, though.
I don't know. I personally would love to see him do another comedy.
Well, I don't mind that either. I would love to see him do an Ivan Reitman.
Like, not Ghostbusters 3, but I'd like to see him in an Ivan Reitman. Like, I'd like to see him work together.
No question.
One of my favorite Bill Murray movies, and it's one of those underappreciated movies from a little while ago, Quick Change.
Gina Davis, I loved it.
And Randy Quaid.
Co-directed that one,
didn't he? Yeah, and he's so good in that movie, too. And again, he's just so dry and deadpan. Yeah. I think he's a really good actor. I would love to see him.
JT approves.
JT's raising his hand.
He also directed Quick Change.
That's what I said.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, you said that. Sorry, I missed
Thank
that.
You.
Love that
and,
movie.
I'm not sure if he'll. It doesn't seem. It seems like if the opportunity were there for him to direct, I don't think he wants to anymore. Maybe. I don't know.
It's such a pain.
Yeah.
I just really want.
He was also. He had a great cameo in Zombieland.
He did.
Hysterical in Zombieland. And he was great. And I would like to see him in more of those kind of roles, but not cameos. Mm-hmm. I love seeing him in the Wes Anderson movies because mm-hmm. Wes Anderson does let him play. Mm-hmm. It's just nice that he's still around and that we still get to see him. It could be fun to see him and Dan Aykroyd in a movie together. For me, only because of my nostalgia, mm-hmm. I would love that. Not sure it'll ever happen, but mm-hmm. I could say it out loud. And see what happens.
On this Halloween, he's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So, all right. Let's go. I don't think we have anything. What do we have? Last words? Or?
I really did enjoy the music because it reflected the Bob Dylan at the end with the credits when he's just sitting he's there.
Singing.
Yeah, and he's singing. He shows that, I don't know, there's an old soul to him in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I could leave on some quotes. He was at the New York premiere. So in introducing the movie, Murray took to the stage with popcorn in tow. Mm-hmm. And his quote, "I have two bags of popcorn, not because the film is that long, but there was no telling when the first time director would shut up." Which I think is funny. On what appealed to him about the script, the punctuation, I guess. That's funny. But in all seriousness, the people sounded like real people. Ted is very earnest. Mm-hmm. And that is something I think, he was earnest. Why he trusted Melfi. He goes, "It takes a lot of energy to get even the worst motion picture made. I thought he had the kind of energy and enthusiasm to make the worst motion picture possible." And nobody sets out to make a bad movie. This is what I love about that quote. But a lot of time and effort goes into the movie. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't come out so good. Mm-hmm. The best thing, and then on making independent films. About this one, he says, "It was a really hot summer in Brooklyn last year. It was brutal. It was an unpleasant time to work, and you work long hours. They call these art films. It means you don't get paid very well and you work terrible hours and the caterer isn't usually very good. For this guy to show up every day and look us in the eye and say, 'Let's do it again,' you got to give him a point for that," which I think is funny. And on collaborating to make a movie, he likens it to, it's like raising kids. You may like kids, but you raise them right. They may not be well behaved, but you're stuck with them. Being stuck with the first time director is the same thing.
Yeah, so it goes to show he jokes a lot about working with Melfi.
He gets it.
But they're at that fun understanding, like, it's not from a mean, malicious way. It's just like, I understand.
And personally, the way Bill Murray seems to be, if he didn't have a good experience, he wouldn't have been there. Even if he was great, I don't think he would have said anything. I think he would have just showed up and maybe not said anything. Jaden, he was asked what his most difficult scene to film, and he was saying the speech scene that he did at the end. He goes, "I had to do it at the end, and it was tough because it was a long speech. It was like 4 pages, and I had to do it in front of hundreds of people." So, for
but
me,
it's
it was
written
like,
down.
Really,
now I got to do is read it.
Do you think it's actually written? I always wonder that sometimes.
Well, if people, I was directing him, because that's what he's doing. Just
read
it.
That's what I think. I mean, but I'm wondering if the actual script page. Like, not just thinking, like, there are
if
other
If it were me, as
the
director, I would have said, "Write this," and I would have had him write it down, and then that's what you're going to take up, and then I want you to read it.
It's funny. For him, that was his most
Because, I mean, he had so
scene.
Much to edit to. It's an easy
scene.
Yeah,
and he had
the
pictures.
But for him, he said
people.
It was nerve-wracking.
I know. That's fine. I'm just,
And being a young kid like that, that's probably one of his first times he had to speak in front of a huge audience for such a long period of time.
Yeah, especially because everywhere else, when you're acting, you're doing it with the guy or gal in front of you and then maybe some crew out there. So it's not that big a deal. They're all busy doing their own thing.
So
give it one shot.
I think, in the end, this movie's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah. It clearly is. It's getting an 85. Not at all.
Nothing's wrong with that.
Absolutely
nothing wrong with that. It's a good crowd pleaser. I think people who are going to continue to, people who after this weekend will go see it are going to come out and they're going to feel good. Like, my mom can see this movie.
Yeah, my parents can watch this movie. They didn't enjoy it.
She'll say, "Is it a nice movie?" "Yes, Mom, it's,
it's a nice movie."
"Oh, good, good. I like it then. I like it." And then she'll call me up and goes, "You're right. It was a nice movie." Thanks, Mom. So
exactly like that.
It goes, "You have no. You met my mom." Mm-hmm. By the way, she called from Greece today, and she wished us all happy Halloween.
That's very nice.
That's great.
So. Mom Panos.
There you go.
So, was that your last words?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Marissa,
overall, I really enjoyed the performance of this film. If we weren't doing anatomy for it, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't have seen this film.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
But I'm glad I did watch it. It was mm-hmm. fun to see another Bill Murray, because Bill was bigger in the 80s. I wasn't even mm-hmm. a thought back then in the 80s. So, you know, it's nice to see him in this, you know, in this generation watching watching more films.
I think we're lucky to have him. I mean,
yeah.
Well, we really are.
Unique, for sure. I mean, there isn't anybody like Bill Murray.
No, but when you look at that, when you we're fortunate to still, I mean, Dan Aykroyd,
right.
John Belushi's not with us. Other people still haven't made and continue to act mm-hmm. the way he continues to be in a movie, one, mm-hmm. maybe two movies a year. I think we're fortunate that as an audience mm-hmm. member that who grew up with him, that we still mm-hmm. have him to watch.
And he's still acting.
Even for those who didn't grow up with him.
Right.
Exactly.
But you know, I've
seen a lot of Bill Murray's from the 80s films, mm-hmm. but seeing him in new material.
Yeah.
It's always fun and refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. I mean, as I said, I bawled my eyes out. I knew I was being manipulated the whole time, but I didn't care because it was a good cathartic thing at the end, and the message of it, which is, I think, a worthy message to have out there in the world.
I agree.
And I think for that alone, I think it's worth it. And I think if you're a fan of Bill Murray, you're going to love this. Even if you're not a fan of Bill Murray, there's a lot there to enjoy. And
yeah.
I think Melissa as well. I thought the acting was just fun and spot on. I thought they really relished their roles.
Yeah, you know, same here.
So that's how I can.
Which is good. And you know, you're right about the manipulation. But what hates me the most is, you know that you're being manipulated, but I don't want it beaten over my head. Like, there are some movies, would we agree that you
terrible.
See?
Yeah.
And it's almost as if a PA has a flashcard that puts up to tell the audience, this is the part where you're supposed to cry.
No.
Cry now.
Exactly.
And I didn't get that.
No, not at all.
Even though we, you know.
You know it's going to happen, but that's okay. I mean, I don't mind being led down that path if it's done okay.
If it's done well.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Exactly.
So, because sometimes that's why you go to a movie like that.
Absolutely.
So. All right, let them know where they can find
us. You can follow all of us here at anatomyofamovie.com. We have some fun dissections down the pipeline, and then you can follow us all on Twitter and on Instagram now.
There you go, look at us.
Anatomy.
Look at us.
All right.
And you can find me here at Anatomy of a Movie and on Twitter at dmovies1701. And happy Halloween. It was a treat, not a trick, to be with you today.
And where they find you?
You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV.
The only place you can find me is right here for the next time we bring you another Anatomy of a Movie. Thanks very much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Happy Halloween.
Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.